Well, we're in the second part of what we were looking at last Sunday, which was about eternal life. And as promised from last Sunday, we're going to be looking at eternal life in heaven. But let's just remind ourselves that we started last Sunday evening talking about eternal life in the here and the now. Eternal life comes to us not when we suddenly arrive in heaven, when we die, or if the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes us to be in heaven, but eternal life is ours already if we know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, through His Spirit and in His Word, is preparing us for heaven. And what has happened to us is that we have had a change. We talked about a change of heart, from going from a stony heart to a heart of flesh. Paul speaks of how before Christ we were dead in our trespasses and in our sins, but now in Christ we've been made alive. So the eternal life is now ours on earth, and we're going to have that eternal life continuing with us in heaven as well. And what we can say is that even though it's believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we might know a precious closeness with the Lord Jesus, what we might describe as a delight in the gospel and the delight of God Himself, but what is going to happen when we go to heaven is going to be much, much more. Somebody described it like this: what we enjoy of heaven today will be a faint foretaste of what is to come. So we might think, well, we're really loving the Lord today. We're really happy in the Lord today. We are really growing in the things of the Lord. The Lord has become a delight to us. But in heaven, well, we'll see that as a faint foretaste of what is to come. But one thing I want to stress before we come to these points is this, that when we go to heaven, we'll not go to heaven as the finished saints. Because in heaven, as I hope we'll see, heaven is a place where we will grow. Grow in a number of things. And I'll be sharing that in a moment. But it's not a static place. One of the things that I can remember some of the young people of my previous church wanted to know is, what we're going to do in heaven, because it sounds really boring to be spending all day in church singing. Well, it's not going to be like that. Well, there'll be a lot of singing, but it's going to be more than that. We'll be growing in all kinds of ways in heaven. So what I've got for us this evening are three major points and three smaller points, okay? So we'll emphasize the major points, but there'll be three smaller points that perhaps might help us in some of those questions that we have about heaven. But I am very conscious, and I was very conscious when I was looking at this passage and looking at the whole aspect of eternal life in heaven, that I feel a bit like Paul. I haven't got the vocabulary. I haven't got the words. There's so many adjectives that I could use, and yet it doesn't describe heaven at all, really. And we are really sort of lost for words. But there are certain ideas and concepts, I think, that we can at least be certain of. So the first major point is this one: an ever-increasing grace. Ever-increasing grace. Now, if you remember, I'm sure you do, that Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9 tells us that we are saved by grace. Ephesians 2, 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And I think we always should put the next verse in, not of works, just in case anybody is thinking that salvation is by works. It isn't. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so it's by grace, and we praise God for this. It's God's undeserved, unmerited favor towards us. God didn't have to, but He does. It is by grace we have been saved. And we can say this, and it is by God's grace we go to heaven. But our experience of God's grace on earth will be, I think, when we go to heaven, as nothing compared to what we will experience of God's grace in heaven. Because in heaven, we'll know a great deal more about the riches of God's goodness. Especially as we explore and we experience and encounter heaven. I think we can say this, that in every corner of heaven, we will discover God's amazing grace to save sinners as ourselves. And our very thoughts in heaven will be thoughts of God's abundant grace towards us. And seeing God's abundant grace in heaven will cause us, just like we saw in Revelation chapter 5, the people falling down and worshiping. Why? Well, because God our Father, is the infinite God of grace. And so grace that comes from God in heaven, because he is the infinite God, has to be an infinite grace. There's a grace that has no ending. A grace that is infinite, because God is infinite. Now, let's just pause there a moment and try to apply this a little to ourselves. How do we, as we live here on earth, and I trust and pray because we belong to Jesus, we are longing for that time when we will come before God, will come to God in heaven. But how do we make our thoughts on earth more heavenly in this world? Well, I think the answer to that is by seeking God's grace towards us here on earth, looking for it, looking for God's favor, God's blessings that he gives to us. Not concentrating on the things of this world, but seeing God's handiwork in our lives, God's grace. And when we begin to see something of God's grace here on earth, then we can perhaps also look upwards and begin to see something of the abundant grace that will be ours in God as well. Because God is the God of grace. So that's the very first thing, an ever-increasing grace. The second thing is this, an ever-increasing knowledge. An ever-increasing knowledge. We enter heaven with a limited knowledge of the infinite God. We're finite beings. God is infinite. And as finite beings, it's impossible for us to know the infinite God. God going to heaven doesn't make us fully perfect in knowledge of God. Heaven is to be a place of learning, an eternal place of learning, where we will continually be learning more and more and more about God, knowing God and having a knowledge of God. And there will be so much to learn, and we'll never get to the end of it, because God is infinite. And I think we have a hint of that from something that Peter wrote. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Peter there is talking in that epistle about the gospel, and he's reminding the people about the gospel. But then he talks about the gospel right at the end of that verse, about the gospel. To you, he says, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And then he adds these words, things which angels desire to look into. Even the angels of heaven, who are close to God, already in heaven, there are things that they don't know. And they're looking in, says Peter, to the things that God is doing with his people. They didn't know about the gospel, not the not the complete understanding of the gospel. So the angels themselves are learning. And how is it possible? Because, well, these angels, like us, are finite creatures. They have a beginning. We have a beginning. But God has no beginning and no ending. So our ideas, our thoughts, our knowledge of God, our knowing God, is going to increase and increase and increase in heaven, because we're in the kingdom of the infinite God. And God is above and beyond all of his creation. All of eternity is not long enough to know anything more, well, not to know anything more, but to know more and more about God and know the complete knowledge of God. We can never exhaust it. They never exhaust what there is to know about God in heaven. And we enter heaven as learners of God, and will continue to do so, learning about God forever. Now, I want to quote to you a man called, and he's got a wonderful name, Sam Storms. That's a wonderful name, isn't it? Sam Storms. He's written a book called One Thing, and it's got a subtitle, Developing a Passion for the Beauty of God. It's a good book, so if you can get hold of it, it's quite an old book now, and it's not so easy to get hold of, but he says this in his chapter on heaven. He says, our happiness will be perfect in that it will be entirely free from trouble, trial, and evil. But perfection, as strange as it may sound, is always subject to improvement. In heaven, that which we think is perfect is perfect, but it will improve. You see what I mean about vocabulary? How do you make something perfect even more perfect? Well, in heaven, with the infinite God, our Father, there will be an improvement even on perfection. So there's ever-increasing knowledge. And a third point is this, an ever-increasing joy, an ever-increasing joy. Now, we mentioned something of this this morning, but God's desire on earth and in heaven is that he should have the glory, that he should be glorified. And we glorify him on earth as we grow in grace and in knowledge of him. And God also is glorified by how much we enjoy him. God is to have the glory. Now, we thought about that quite a lot this morning. But let me remind you of something I'm sure most of you know anyway. At least it's the first question of something you know, the Westminster Shorter Catechism. When I ask people what the second question is, or the third question, people haven't got a clue, but they know the first one. And the first one was penned like this: what is man's chief end? Or we could rephrase it perhaps like this: what's the purpose of man's life? Well, the answer that the Westminster Divines gave us is this: to glorify him, and to enjoy him forever, to glorify God in our lives and to enjoy him forever. And that's our purpose on earth. It's also our purpose in heaven too, because it's the same purpose. What is the chief end of man, whether it be on earth or in heaven? It's the same thing. It is to glorify God and to enjoy him. Or if I may use a quotation from John Piper, who likes to change the wording a little bit, it would be to glorify him by enjoying him in heaven. And that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. We're going to be enjoying God. And we've got an eternity to enjoy God. Because when you think about it, even here on earth, if we think about joy, or we think about perhaps happiness on earth is not static. It changes, doesn't it? One day we might be very happy, and the next day we might not be so happy. Some happiness will grow, but it can also diminish. What happens in heaven is that our happiness, as we there and we continue there, is going to grow in greater happiness and in greater joy in God. Let me quote you Sam Storms again, the last quote from him. He says this concerning heaven, that we may grow in happiness in heaven seems evident from the fact that the ideas, the thoughts, and insights into the nature and work of God will forever increase. And as we discover more about God in heaven, then our joy in him will grow more and more and more. So those are my three major points. An ever-increasing grace, we'll know more and more about God's goodness to us, God's favor towards us in heaven. An ever-increasing knowledge of God, because we enter heaven and we only have a partial knowledge, a partial knowing of God, don't we? We're finite. God is infinite. And an ever-increasing joy. We would enter heaven with great joy, but there's an increasing joy that awaits us. Well, three more points, really. Shorter points. And the first one is this. So this is number four. What we won't see there. What we won't see in heaven. Well, there are two texts that we can take from the book of Revelation that tells us what we won't see in heaven. And the first of these is Revelation 21 and verse 4. There we read, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." What we won't see in heaven? Well, we won't see tears. We won't see sorrows. We won't see pain. There'll be no grief. There'll be no death. And let's put the big one in. There'll be no sin. We won't see sin in heaven, because sin is where the holy, holy, holy God is. And in heaven, there is no sin. But I said there was another text, and it's this one. Revelation 21, 8. And there we're told in the book of Revelation, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns of fire and brimstone, which is the second death." These are the ones who are not going to be in heaven. The ungodly. Those who reject Jesus. Because it only through believing in Jesus and having Jesus as your Savior and Lord that there is an entrance into heaven. And all those who rejected Jesus, they're simply not going to be there. So that was the negative. What we won't see there. Well, let me bring you the next point, and I'll say this. What will we see there? What will we see there? We will see, there's a number of things, but I can put it like this. We will see nothing but the glory, the beauty, the purity, the majesty of God. The glory, the beauty, the purity, and the majesty of God. There's a few other things I'm going to mention that we will see as well, but those are the main things. The glory, the beauty, the majesty, and the purity of God. John Wesley wrote a journal, George Whitfield wrote a journal, love ya. He wrote a journal in the middle of the 1700s. It was a time of revival, which we call the Great Awakening. And at this time, there were two men especially who were used mightily by God in this time of revival. One was George Whitfield, and the other was John Wesley. And in the early days, they worked together, But there was a falling out between George Whitfield and John Wesley, not on the principles of the gospel, but sort of some theological differences which caused George Whitfield and John Wesley to part and to stop working together as such. Now, in George Whitfield's journal, there's a man, he writes about a man coming up to him after a meeting, and he was being a bit devious and perhaps trying to stir things. He says that he said to George Whitfield, "Will you see John Wesley in heaven?" And George Whitfield said, and I quote him, "No, because Mr. Wesley will be so near God's throne of grace that I will see nothing but God's glory." That's a wonderful answer, isn't it? I'm sure that's not what the man expected. But you see the point, that George Whitfield was expecting in heaven to be so captivated by the glory of God that almost he would see nothing else. Well, let me ask another question. What else might we see in heaven? Well, we will see all things that are profitable to us. Because in heaven, God will give us all things which are profitable to you. All things that are pure, all things that are undefiled, all things that are delightful, all things that are perfect, and all things as they should be, and all without sin. Well, it's the third thing. This goes back, but it goes back to the young person in the young people's meeting. It's happened to me quite a few times, really. But who said, "What are you going to do in heaven?" Well, that's our next point. What are we going to do in heaven? What will we do there? Well, I've got 6 points, 6 more ones. First of all, let's get this out of the way. We will no longer sin. In fact, we will no longer enjoy sin in heaven. That's an important point, isn't it? We will no longer be full of our own self-interest, our own selfishness. We mentioned that this morning, didn't we? Instead, we will be full of Christ. It'll be Christ who is important and number one in all things. Remember the scene in Revelation chapter 5. The Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, and he's in the center, and he's got the elders and the creatures, and they're all around him. It's the Lord Jesus that we will see, and we will be full of Christ. And we will fellowship with the Lord Jesus and with his saints. And this is the wonderful thing about heaven. We will fellowship with the Lord Jesus and with his saints forever. Forever. My old pastor told me once, and I'm not sure how true this will be in heaven, but he said when he goes to heaven, he's going to find a bench somewhere where the Apostle Paul is going to be sitting. And he'll spend most of eternity having a word with Paul and saying, "Explain to me the epistle to the Romans." Well, I'm not sure it's going to be like that, but we might be speaking to God's saints, speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ, and get something of those explanations, those difficult passages that we've had in the Bible, and it'll be made all so much clearer. I remember somebody saying to me once, "You know, when's the Lord Jesus Christ going to come? I've read this book and it's going to be, I don't know, 27th of April 2023 or something." And I say, "I don't know. But when I go up to heaven and when I look at the scriptures and I hear what the Lord is saying, I'll say, it was so simple. It was so straightforward. Why didn't I see that?" And there'll be so much that our minds will be open to understand. And of course, another thing is this. Not only will we be fellowshipping with the Lord, but we will be worshipping with God's people, but we will be worshipping Jesus. And in the book of Revelation and chapter 5, did you notice there? It talks about the people on earth and the people and the creatures under the water and the creatures under the ground. And basically, all of creation will be there worshipping the Lamb of God. That's what we'll be doing. But it won't be boring. Worship in heaven can never be boring, can it? Another thing is this: we will love God even more. We might think we love God now, but in heaven we will love God even more. And not only that, we will love all God's people. And we'll love God, and we love God's people with a perfect love. And then the final thing: we will discover in heaven new things, new delights. And those new discoveries and those new delights will cause us to praise the Lord even more. And we'll have an eternity to explore heaven. And that won't be long enough, because every time we explore something of heaven, there'll be new things to see and new delights and more of God's grace. And we will fall down and worship. But one final thought to close. There in heaven, we will know the sound and the sight of the most perfect worship from perfected souls in love and joy. In love and in joy with the Lord. A week ago, I was in a men's conference, and behind me there was a man singing, and he was completely off key, and he started before everybody else, and he finished after everybody else. In heaven, everybody will be in harmony. And just think of all the parts that we can sing, and it'll be all to God's glory. It'll be the most perfect of worship. We will see it, and we'll be part of it, and our voices will, well, I was going to say be like the angels. I'm sure the angels' voices will be even sweeter than that, and we'll be part of that, that worship of souls in love with God and full of the joy to God. Well, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we give praise to you and thanks that, Lord, as we here have sought to worship you, we realize, Lord, that throughout the world in which we live, well, people tell us in every continent on the planet, there are your people and they're your churches and there's worship of you. And we praise you and thank you for that. But Lord, we realize that is just a foretaste, a tiny foretaste of what heaven must be like. But all your people gathered with the angels and to see the Lord Jesus Christ and to know and experience that amazing grace and to enjoy the glory that is yours, and to be part of that, to be part of your glory as your children. And Lord, help us to have an excitement about heaven. Lord, the things of this earth can tread us down, but Lord, may our souls be lifted up into glory and into praise and worship of you, even while we're here on earth. And we thank you, Lord, that heaven awaits your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.